the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear saints of God, every day, whether you realize it or not, you are in the middle of a fight between certainty and doubt. The Lord wants you to be certain, like a husband who wants to assure his wife that he loves her and never wants her to doubt that. So our Lord wants you to have such a certainty that he loves you. A certainty that your sins are certainly forgiven. A certainty that you have been saved from the snares of the devil. The devil is in the business of undoing that. He takes what God says, which is true and certain, and then he asks, "Did God really say?" The devil wants to take you from certainty to doubt, to questioning, to skepticism, to suspiciousness, and finally, to unbelief. But it starts with doubt. Does God really love you? Could he ever really forgive that sin? Would you really be going through all of this if God cared for you? And what we need in the face of uncertainty and doubt is an authority. When someone has authority to speak about something, they've been granted the right to speak about a given truth. So if you're awaiting trial, your lawyer says, "We're going to win this case." But the opposing lawyer says, "You're going to lose this case." With two opposing views and opinions, you're only left with doubt. But the one who has authority, the judge, he declares the verdict, and then there is certainty. This is how it was for Jesus. Just before our gospel lesson for today took place, Jesus was outside the temple overturning the tables of the money changers. And then he teaches those about faith the size of a mustard seed that can move mountains. But then Jesus walks from outside the temple to the inside of the temple, and he starts teaching those who were gathered there. And not just anyone could just trape into the temple and start teaching. You couldn't just read things off of Wikipedia and go into the temple. You had to have an authority. And Jesus was a rabbi come to teach in the temple. So there is Jesus teaching in the temple along with the chief priests and the elders, and they come to question Jesus' authority. Now they just aren't questioning his authority to teach in the temple. They ask, "By what authority are you doing these things? By what authority do you overturn tables at the temple? By what authority do you teach that faith can do such a great thing? By what authority do you forgive sins?" Now let's stop here a moment and consider something. That sometimes hearing the gospel is like watching a movie, and that Jesus is the main character, he's the good guy, and then along comes the evil, nasty chief priests who questioned the authority of Jesus. Dun, dun, dun. Why? Because Jesus is contrary to them. But I'd like to point out that whenever you're faced with a teaching or you're confronted with something in the Bible that you just don't quite want to agree with, you challenge authority too. That will quote a Bible passage, "Judge not, lest you be judged." And when we read it, something like that, we say, "Well, that was written 2,000 years ago by men. We can't believe everything in that book." Thomas Jefferson is famous for taking a razor and cutting and pasting parts of the Bible that he thought were true. But the part that he didn't think was true, he left on the cutting room floor. We're all little Thomas Jeffersons. We take parts of the Bible that we like, but we ignore parts of the Bible that we don't. Or we'll draw into question maybe the entire thing, passing it off as a book of errors. What authority does this book have anyway? Well, when Jesus was faced with this question, by what authority do you do these things? Jesus answers, I will ask you a question too, and if you tell me, I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. And he asks, the baptism of John, where did it come from? From heaven or from man? In other words, where did John the Baptist get his authority? Now, this was put to the chief priests and the elders, and it put them in a bit of a pickle. Because if they were to say from heaven, that is to say that he had authority sent by God, then Jesus would say, well, then why didn't you believe him? But if they say that his authority was just a man-made authority, not a true God-given authority, then they feared the people, the crowds, who recognized John the Baptist as a prophet. And since they didn't have the courage to speak their conviction for the fear of the people, they simply respond with a safe answer, we don't know. Now that is a bit of a divine irony, because the chief priests and the elders never liked saying, we don't know. Because they're supposed to know. If you went to the temple with some kind of a question, you would ask the chief priests and the elders, because they were supposed to know. And here they're challenging Jesus and his authority to teach in the temple. And they say, are you authorized to teach in the temple? They are the ones who are supposed to be doing that. They're the ones who are supposed to have the answers. And now they're forced into saying, we don't know. Which is true. They didn't know. They had no idea who this Jesus really is. Jesus says, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Now, we should think a little bit more deeply about this. You see, Jesus isn't just asking a tough question to get out of a sticky situation. He isn't doing the politician thing of avoiding questions. Jesus did answer their question by his question. Jesus wasn't pulling a random question out of the hat about John. The answer was their answer. For John the Baptist is there in the Jordan River as a prophet of God. As Isaiah says, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. And as that prophet of God, John the Baptist declared that Jesus is the one who is mightier than I, that I am not even fit to untie his sandal. That he will baptize, Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. And he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then the voice from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So by what authority does Jesus do these things? By that authority. By the authority that God's prophet would declare him to be the Messiah. By the authority that the Spirit of God would rest upon him. By the authority that God the Father would say of him down from heaven, this is my beloved Son. By that authority. It's the authority by which Jesus can overturn money tables, that he can teach about the gift of faith and the salvation it brings, and he can even forgive sin. So what about your doubts? Is the Bible really an authority? And even the more pressing question, are your sins really forgiven? Is there certainty or is there doubt? The question lies simply in the question, who is Jesus? If Jesus is merely the son of a carpenter who was a very charismatic rabbi, simply a man who shook the foundations of an establishment by loving the poor and caring for outcasts. If that's all Jesus was, then there's much doubt to be had. If that's who Jesus was, then I cannot be certain that my sins are forgiven. If, however, John the Baptist was right, if indeed he is a prophet of God who said of Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," if this is true, if this Son of God is Emmanuel, God with us, if Jesus did walk on water, did heal the blind, did raise the dead, then your sins are forgiven because he said so. But how can we know that this Jesus really is who he said he was? Well, because they put him to death and he did not stay dead. If Jesus was just a Jewish zealot, then the tomb wouldn't be empty. What he said about his own resurrection would be a lie, and come Sunday morning, the women would be anointing his body with oils and frankincense. But Jesus didn't stay dead. As the news spreads about Jesus rising from the dead, if this whole thing was a hoax, why didn't someone just go get the body of Jesus and prove that it was a hoax? And how could they steal the body if the guards are standing by? The fact of the matter is that this Jesus proves his own authority by his resurrection. And if Jesus comes back from the dead, then I guess he has some authority and he's worth listening to. Does Jesus want you to have certainty in the forgiveness of sins? He told his disciples, "If you forgive anyone their sins, they are forgiven." And so this morning we had the word of absolution that you are forgiven. Jesus promised, "Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." And Jesus said, "Take, eat, take, drink, given for you for the forgiveness of all your sins." Does Jesus want you to have certainty that your sins are forgiven? That's what Jesus is most concerned about. Your certainty that he suffered all, even death on a cross for your sins. And he preaches to you the message of everlasting life with his promise that you would have certainty and not doubt, certainty that your sins are in fact forgiven. And he says this with the authority from God himself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.